And the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy, chapter 9, verse 1. Hear, O Israel, you are to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom you know, and of whom you have heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? And of course, without the Lord, there was no way that Israel or anyone else could have taken the land of Canaan. And that's because the inhabitants were much, much tougher than they were. Giants inhabited the land. The offspring, the second influx, obviously, of offspring between fallen angels and women, produced the same type of half-breed, gigantic race that was recorded before the flood in the book of Genesis. Verse 3, understand therefore this day that the Lord your God is he which goes over before you as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before your face. So shall you drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord had said unto you. And so the enemy was superior, but their defeat was still inevitable, because as Israel rolls up their sleeve and starts fighting, God would get to work and destroy the enemy. For speak not thou in your heart, after that the Lord your God has cast them out from before you, saying, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord does drive them out from before you. Not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart do you go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you, and that he may perform the word which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just so the Israelites don't lose sight of what's going on, Israel was not to become spiritually conceited after seeing how God worked on their behalf. Because if they think that God fights for them because they're so good and they're so lovable, they're out in the land of make-believe somewhere. 6, understand, therefore, that the Lord your God gives you not this good land to possess it for your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. You know, there really was no reason for the Israelites to become conceited or to feel self-righteous. Their victories were due to the grace of God, period. 7, remember and forget not how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that you did depart out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb you provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. And he almost did. You know, I don't think it's a good idea to wallow in our past sins. I don't think God wants us to do that. But it's still a good idea to remember them and never forget. To remember and never forget at least this, just how rotten and sinful each one of us have been. If Israel remembers their past sins, they won't even think about becoming self-righteous. There are actually two types of people in this world. Number one, those who remember their sin are embarrassed and humbled by it. and those who put a positive spin on it. Verse 9. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spoke with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. Moses had been fasting and praying for 40 days. Meanwhile, the people, the Israelites, were committing fornication and idolatry below the hill. 12. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence. For your people, which you have brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. And that would be the golden calf that we all know about. 13. Furthermore, the Lord spoke unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. Self-righteous? Conceited? No, I don't think so. The ink wasn't even dry on the Ten Commandments, and they already were breaking them, committing idolatry. And God was so angry that he wanted to execute every last one of the Israelites on the spot. 15. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the 2 tables of the covenant were in my 2 hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the 2 tables and cast them out of my 2 hands and broke them before your eyes. And you know what? There's no record anywhere in Scripture where God reprimanded Moses for doing that. The people were fickle. They were a corporate Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And so Moses smashes the 10 Commandments, illustrating what Israel had done by their sin. 18. And I fell down before the Lord, as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins, which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was angry against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. Yeah. You know, you are looking at a genuine hero right here. I'm talking about Moses. He was horrified over the sins of Israel. And he was terrified because God was about to execute them all. And as a result, he falls on his face. He prays and actually rescues them from destruction. That's a spiritual hero. 20. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. I'll tell you, Aaron never had a better friend than his brother Moses. 21. And I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and I burnt it with fire, and I stamped it and ground it very small, even until it was small as dust, and I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descends out of the mount, crushing and grinding and scattering was the end of that idol. And it should have been, and it would have been, the destiny of those who reveled in it as well, if it hadn't been for the intercessory prayer of Moses. He pulled the Israelites out of the fire, believe me. Because they deserved to be destroyed right on the spot, and God was going to do it. 22. And at Taberah, and at Massah, and at Kirbath Hatava, you provoked the Lord to wrath. Numbers 11, verses 1 through 3. Self-righteous? Conceited? No, I don't think so. Moses could have went on indefinitely talking about Israel's sinfulness. 23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Read about that in Numbers 13, 17 through 33. You'd think that the golden calf thing would have changed Israel's attitude toward God, but no. The sequel to that one was a real beauty. They refused to enter the promised land that God promised to give them. They said, God brought us out to kill us. Just incredible insult to Almighty God. 24. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Did you ever notice how nearly every old song has a memory connected to it? Well, with Israel, every memory had a rebellion connected to it. 25. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed therefore unto the Lord, and said, O Lord God, destroy not your people and your inheritance, which you have redeemed through your greatness, which you have brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Israel hurt God, and they hurt Moses too. But Moses wasn't bitter. He prays, Lord, don't be quick to pull the trigger here. Have mercy on them. He was just a wonderful man. He really was. 27. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin. Moses says, Lord, don't look on our sin. Don't even notice our sin. Don't concentrate on our sin. Just shift gears, if you would, and think about what you told Abraham. How you promised him that his offspring would be a race of people. How you would give them the land of promise. Think about that. Think about your word, God, not what we deserve. 28. Lest the land whence you brought us out of, say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are your people and your inheritance, which you brought out by your mighty power and by your stretched out arm. Moses said, if you destroy Israel, it's just not going to look good at all. Not for you, it's not going to look good. You're going to look weak, God, like you couldn't finish what you started. And that's what Moses prayed. And he got through to God because his prayer was based on the glory of God. That's effective prayer. You pray for something that glorifies God. Everything else equal, you're going to get it.